this week, an unusual thing has happened. I don't often pick up things from the Wangaratta Chronicle, but this is an article which really caught my attention. Bishop John Parkes of Wangaratta appears to be the very first Anglican bishop in the country who has said he does not object to same-sex marriage. He's gone right to the line. Now, he's been travelling, and he's only just arrived back today, and not talking to him, but talking to the next best person, Archdeacon Peter MacLeod Miller is the rector of Albury Wodonga Parish. Peter is archdeacon there, which is one of the senior Anglican positions. Peter MacLeod Miller, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much, Noel.
Now, Peter, it strikes me that the bishop has not completely endorsed, but he's gone just about as close as I've heard any bishop.
And actually, he's not completely the first, but he's the one that's currently living. I think that Bishop John McIntyre down in Gippsland was perhaps the first to put his head above the parapet, and I think that he got it shot off so many times that finally he succumbed, actually. He died a year ago, and I think he was under enormous strain. I think he was very isolated, and he was greatly attacked. In that sense, it makes Bishop John Parkes' move even the more courageous, because knowing the sort of opposition he will inevitably encounter. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about what he said. He's quoted in the Wangaratta Chronicle as saying, "To talk about marriage as though it's a simple thing, biblically ordained, is nonsense. You point to me the biblical model of marriage, and indeed some of the marriages in the Bible are not some we would want to emulate." That's fairly strong.
Yes, it's also fairly realistic.
Well, he's talking there, of course, because polygamy is present in the Hebrew Testament, certainly.
Yes. And actually, it was interesting that there are other lay commentators in a corporate sense, but of equal standing, I suppose, in their own institution. For example, the CEO of Qantas, who, as an Irishman, was recently saying, which particular traditional model of marriage are we aspiring to here? Which particular model are we trying to stop people from having, you see? So he was saying that in terms of the debate in Ireland, that they made it very clear there that there are many forms of marriage that don't necessarily lead to fullness of life for both parties, and to ask really what are we really on about after? What's the issue, basically? Yeah.
Well, Bishop Parkes has said that he wants the clergy and congregations of Wangaratta's 25 parishes, of which yours is one, to express a mind and to ensure consideration by the synod. Now, that's the effectively the governing body of the diocese. And then he says, where do I think we will end up? And he says, I think we will end up, I hope, having a clear theology of Christian marriage, the blessing of relationships. I do not think such a thing would be a betrayal of the gospel or the end of the world. Now, that's pretty much where you stand also.
Absolutely, but that's not the universal wisdom or point of view, because many people do think that this would mean the end of Christendom, in the end of family life, and the end of community. So that he's actually making a very radical statement, but actually he is making the sort of statement that most teenagers actually would agree with, because at least most people in the country that I've met, they do think that this is a matter which is about basic acceptance of diversity and humanity, and to do anything else to come to a different conclusion inevitably ends up to the destruction of individuals and of communities. So I think that's been the testimony, I think, of all sorts of communities, but it hasn't been clearly expressed, and certainly in church circles, very unfashionable to speak up on this particular issue.
Well, the Anglican Bishop of Newcastle Diocese, Greg Thompson, and the Catholic Bishop of Newcastle, Maitland, they have agreed in an ecumenical sense that they don't object to civil same-sex marriage. So we've got now three bishops, which you could count through the country, who are at least not utterly opposed, and one in your diocese who seems open to it. Now, you have been to Parliament. You were in Parliament in August at a parliamentary breakfast with 100 other religious leaders. Now, what were you doing there? Remind us.
Yes, well, we were presenting a petition on behalf of people for faith, and particularly based around Christian faith, saying that rather than people of faith being frightened or objecting to this, that is because of Christian faith that for many people marriage equality is important, because of the signal it gives to the whole community about the status of people, gay people as well as straight people. Yeah.
Now, you met with Warren Entsch. This was before he actually put up his bill. You met with other parliamentarians as well, and there were 100 of you. How was that meeting received?
Well, actually, there weren't really 100 of us. We presented a petition or a statement on behalf of 106 people. There were actually only three of us and a number of well-wishing.
Now, when you met at the Parliament for the parliamentary breakfast, you as a representative group of three, I think with Margaret Maymont also from Pitt Street Uniting Church, presented a letter on behalf of more than 100 religious leaders, didn't you?
I did so. Also, other people said that they would have signed up, but they were fearful of doing so because of the repercussions. And so it does prove this is a really hot topic, that people are fearful of speaking their mind on this matter. And so that's another reason why the bishop's move is an act of courage. And it is because in the midst of fear that he's willing to stand up. And I do think in that sense he's actually connecting with the reason why people have any faith at all, really. It's very encouraging, really.
When you say repercussions, for those who are not churched, who don't understand how the church works, what do you mean by repercussions for bishops and clergy?
Getting the sack for a start.
The sack? Seriously, that's serious? That's serious?
I'm being destroyed personally and professionally, I suppose, being obliterated. And most people don't understand that because the rest of the community has moved on. If you do express your mind, then you can just suddenly disappear. No one will ask where you've gone because everyone will understand because you've expressed your mind on an equality that dare not speak its name, you see. So if you do, you could be gone. It is, in our particular system of government, captain's pick, and that will be fine. So all sorts of, seeming injustices can happen, and there's no redress. So it's dangerous territory.
Why are you so concerned as a pastor in a regional area, though? You're speaking from Albury-Wodonga. Why your concerns?
Yes, this is because of personal experience and personal cries for help.
Now, you did mention to me letters you've received, actually asking for help. What sort of letters have you received?
I received a letter from a girl from a local church school. It was a copy of the letter that she'd sent to her principal and to their chaplain and to their director of studies. It was saying that they had, in their religious studies classes, been in the last couple of weeks exploring the evils of marriage equality and also the evils of gay people. And she said that she thought it was damaging to them as individuals, damaging to them as a community. And she said she really felt that they would like to connect with the sort of message of love and acceptance that they have heard about that's coming from St. Matthew's and our congregation. And the message has been that no one has ever died from too much love and acceptance, but plenty of people perish for want of it. That particular perspective comes from a local child. And how inspiring to think that she should stand up and write to the principal in that line and object to the damaging messages which have a church brand upon them that they receive under the auspices of religious education. I didn't intend to be involved in this. In fact, to be quite frank, I was on the other side of the fence. I would have opposed equality in marriage. And certainly I have when I was younger and knew everything. Now that I'm older and have been in regional Australia, I've actually been dragged into this through the cries for help and the real concern of local young people. When this first was mooted up here and they've had their first equality marriage rally in Albury, there was hardly anyone there, really, and I just looked around from the side of the church. I was doing a wedding, and I saw on the rug near the front, near the microphone, I saw, gosh, those are kids from our school. And I thought, if kids from school can stand up for these things, because they think it's so important for youth mental health and acceptance in an area which has one of the highest youth suicide rates in the country, how can I not be involved? In fact, so when they came across and welcomed me and they said, well, won't I take the microphone, because they were, and I thought, well, actually, I'd be pretty lousy if I didn't. So they really shamed me into being involved. And then that has continued, that as I have said things in public, I've just received an enormous amount of affirmation, particularly from young people in the region, people I've never met. I have been admonished by a couple of older people, like at the local farmer's market, some old lady in it, actually in a wheelchair, like something out of a recent opera, really, said, "That's that terrible man, that horrible man."
So there is opposition, of course. What about from fellow clergy?
Yes, yes. I think they're particularly frightened because they don't want to be drawn into controversy. I've had a number of people who've spoken to me and said the thing they love about the Anglican Church is that it's so quiet and peaceful. And so they accuse people like me of rocking their peaceful and quiet boat. I have said to members of my own congregation, I mean, I was greeted by someone as I arrived a couple of weeks ago. Is that there have been some very negative members in the community and they don't like political statements from the pulpit. And I said, well, in the congregation, look, I know I'd like to speak to the wardens and to the rest of you about this, that if you really are looking for a church where you don't need to think about too very much and you just want to sing the hymns and look at the book, then there are plenty of churches in which you can do that. And I can show you where they are. If you want to be part of a tradition which is about being broken and poured out for others, and we do that for homeless people, for refugees, for youth mental health and suicide, for Indigenous inclusion and for the role of women in our particular congregation, then why wouldn't you want all people to be equal? Unless, of course, you have deep-seated hatred of gay people and you have some sort of consecrated prejudice against them, in that case, you'd be perhaps reluctant to be involved. But otherwise, it's just an integrity, really, and makes common sense. I say to all of our kids, we have baptisms every week, and we have the biggest congregation in the diocese. And I say to people, if you're not part of the rescue story, you're not part of the story. So this is just, it's just common sense, really, and it just interacts with local needs and local cries for help and involvement. The two ambulance drivers contacted me and said, it's so important for the church to say something about this because the church has been part of the problem. So they also said, the next time we cut down a young person from a barn who's ended their life because of the prejudice they feel against them in the community because they have been born gay, then they will take that robe and give it to one of the local politicians, because they need to understand that this is a matter of life and death.
Mm. Archdeacon Peter McLeod Miller, Rector of St Matthew's Albury Wodonga, thank you for being part of Sunday Nights.